Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
That the Lord hath made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Good evening. My name is Dr. June Normill, and I'm your host for today. And I thank God for giving me the opportunity to come before you. So this day, God has given us a rhema word. He has given us things that he wants us to learn. He gives us things that he wants us to apply to our life. He has given us a rhema word and things to use in our daily walk with him, where we will get to know him better, we will get to serve him better, and we will get to love others better. Amen? Yes, this is the day that the Lord has truly made, and today will be a day that you will never experience again. Every day is a new day. God has granted us brand new mercies. And I want to just thank God for the opportunity to come before you today. And I just want to give honor and thanksgiving for Dr. Mary McCoy, the president of the Breakthrough Broadcast. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you who are listening to the sound of my voice today. I thank God for the opportunity. Well, the last time we talked, God has been giving us things that we can apply to our lives and they have been making a difference. And he has given me a new topic that he wants me to impart into you all. And this topic will be a three-part series, and the topic is understanding the privilege, principles, and power of prayer. Again, that's understanding the privilege, principles, and power of prayer. So we're going to have a three-part series of this topic, and today, tonight, we'll be discussing the privilege of prayer. What it is to have a privilege of prayer in our lives. Amen. So I'm going to go in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, God, for this opportunity, God, to come before your foot, God, to be able to impart in them, God, what you have given me, God, through your Holy Spirit. God, I ask you, God, just to forgive me, God, for any and all sins. Forgive the hearers of this word, God, for any and all sins that they may have committed, God. And Lord, we just thank you, God, for forgiving us, God, for our sins, God. And God, we ask you, God, to help us, God, to have that same spirit and that same love, God, to forgive you one another, God. Holy Spirit, we give you liberty, God, tonight to have in this lesson tonight, God. Holy Spirit, teach, open our ears, give us understanding, God, of what you want us to know and how to apply this word to our lives. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Again, my name is Dr. June Normia, and I will be presiding before you tonight with the topic of understanding the privilege, principles, and power of prayer. And the first episode, we are going to be talking about understanding the privilege of prayer. We're going to be talking about the privilege of prayer. And privilege is a word that is so powerful. It is very powerful, and it has a significant meaning to it. And the word privilege is defined as a special right, advantage, or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or group of people. Again, it's defined as a special right, advantage, or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or a group of people. So that means that you are in one of those categories. You are that particular person, or we are in a group of being a particular people, and that's where the privilege is. And God has given us that privilege. He has given you that privilege to be able to come to him in prayer. He has given you that privilege to be able to understand him in prayer. He has given you that privilege to be able to commune with him in prayer. But we have to understand what the privilege means, and so we have to apply that to our lives, and we have to know what is prayer, how important prayer is, that we will be able to come to God, the one and only creator of the universe, the omnipotent one, the almighty one, the all-knowing one, the everlasting one who is everywhere. That's the privilege to be able to come to God, the creator of the world, anytime, every time, when we want to come to him about anything. That is truly a privilege. And one thing about prayer, it's very simple, but yet it's very complex. But it's simple knowing that it is simply just talking with God. It's communicating with God. That's what prayer is. And just like I'm talking with you or you talking with someone, what you'll do is you'll communicate with them, they'll communicate with you, they'll talk, you will listen. They will listen, and you will talk. That means you dialoguing. Someone's talking, someone listening, someone listening, someone talking. And that's the privilege to come to God. That's an awesome privilege to be able to come to God, to dialogue with him, to be able to talk with him about anything, anytime. That's what it's the privilege is. But a lot of times, and it's so sad that many people won't accept that privilege. A lot of people will not decide to take that privilege. It's available to whosoever will. And you, and we're going to be getting your Bibles together. Get your Bibles. You will be needing your Bibles tonight. Get your iPhone out. Get your computers. Any way you want to be able to communicate, you can keep up with what I'm going to be talking about tonight. We're going to be going from the Word of God. And a lot of times, I'm going to be going back and forth with different scriptures. But just write them down. You'll be able to go back and write and read in them a little more deeper. Amen. We're going to be coming from 1 Peter 2 and 4. That's one of the scriptures we'll be coming from. We'll be coming from Galatians 3 and 29, Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. And we're going to be going and bouncing back and forth through a lot of them. Now, as I get to those scriptures, what I will do is I will repeat them and I go slowly for you to be able to later go and catch up with what I'm talking about. And also we'll be going to Luke 18 and 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, and Romans 2 and 11. And like I said, I'll be rounding and going to different scriptures spontaneously as the Holy Spirit leads. But I will make it clear and I make it available for you to be able to write them down. Amen. And we was talking about what the privilege it is to be able to come to God, to be able to communicate with him, and be able to talk with him, dialogue with him about everything and anything. And a lot of people won't accept prayer and that opportunity and that privilege because they don't know about prayer. They don't care about prayer. But God wants everybody to be able to pray with him, to be able to commune with him. But we know, based on the Bible, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth to him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in that scripture, John 3:16, it says, "Whosoever." That word is so plain, that means it could be you, or it cannot be you. You choose. You get to make that decision if you're going to be the one of the whosoever. It's available to everybody. It's a privilege to be able to talk to God. And a lot of times, many people will not accept that privilege. They will not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to be able to commune with him. And but this is the greatest inheritance. That's the greatest opportunity. That's the greatest privilege we have been given from God, is to be able to accept him as our Lord and Savior and to have everlasting life. And that's a wonderful privilege of being able to live with God eternally. And that comes forth by accepting the privilege of accepting him as being your Lord and Savior. And I know you probably heard sometime, maybe in the scripture, maybe you haven't heard, but it's a parable, and it's a scripture in the Bible said that we know that God not hear sinners. We know that God did not hear sinners. And I mean, people are thinking like, well, why God won't hear a sinner? He got to hear me. That's the only way I get saved, because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, right? So that means we all were sinners before we became born again. So before we became born again, we were sinners. But after we received Jesus Christ in our lives, we accepted him as being our Lord and Savior, we were not sinners anymore. We were born again believers, because in John 9:31, that's where the scripture comes from. In John 9:1 say, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if in any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him he heareth." In that scripture, a lot of times people use that based on that if you're a sinner, God just don't hear you. But this how it works. All of us is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And before we can even be saved, we are sinners, and we have to hear God. We have to accept him as being our Lord and Savior to be saved. So everybody is a sinner. So that knocked that out, saying that God do not hear sinners. God heard us when we were yet sinners, but because when we accepted him as Lord and Savior, we was no longer sinners. We was born again believers. And then after we became born again believers, it gave us the privilege. He gave us the opportunity. He gave us the right to be able to commune with God, because it's also known if you are a child of God, God is your father. But if you're not a born-again believer, And John is also talking about your father is the devil. And I know it seems harsh and stuff, but it's truth, it's word, it's scripture. Until we become born again believers, we are God's creation. But when we become born again children, except God and Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are born again children of God. We are children of God. Until then, we are sinners. It's just simple as that. Until we become born again believers, we are sinners, and we are not a child of God. And that's where the privilege come in at. You will not have that good, awesome privilege to be able to commune with God until you receive him as Lord and Savior. But God is sovereign. God is merciful. Our ways are not like God's ways. A lot of times, and many times, I can't say this part because I don't have the mind of Christ, but I know what the word of God says. I know that a lot of times, even before we became born again, we all sinned and we all did things and said things that wasn't pleasing to God. And because of God's grace, because of God's love, because of his mercy, what happened? He still somehow answered our prayers. He still somehow made a way when it seemed to be no way. He still showed us love. He rained on us just as well on the when we wasn't doing right. He, like he said, it rained on the just as well. That's the unjust. That's the sovereign power of God. And the sovereign power means God can do anything that he want to do. But that do not give us a lease. That do not give us a right to think and to just take for granted that we will not accept the privilege and take the advantage of making the privilege of God being our Lord and Savior because he answered our prayers when we yet is in our sins. It's inexcusable. But who am I to say that God won't do that? But I know that the word of God says that when we, all our sinners, born and shaped in iniquity, but until we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will not be able to have eternal life. So we can't chance and we can't play and we can't play with our lives as like Russian roulette and think about the goodness and grace of God and use that for a reason, use that for an excuse to be able to not accept the privilege of receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the privilege is open. The floodgate is open. We have all rights. We have all opportunities to be able to commune with God, to be able to have that privilege of being a child of God. And there's so many things that come with that by just having the privilege of being a child of God. A lot of things come with that. It's a lot of packages come with that one thing by just being a child of God. And I'm going to be talking about that as we go on. And like I said, John 9:31 said, now we know that God here is not sinners, but if a man, any man, be a worshiper of a God, he doeth his will and doeth his will. Him who he hear, God hear us, when we be a worshiper and do his will. And that first thing comes with the privilege of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the first thing you have to do. That's a privilege. He said, whosoever will, he will not cast out. So if you're not a born-again believer, you have to repent of your sins. I'm making it simple. I'm making it plain. And the only thing you have to do is acknowledge that you are a sinner. And like a sinner, someone who have not accepted Jesus Christ as being their Lord and Savior, ask to God, you tell God that I know and you know that you are a sinner, and you ask God, you want to repent. That means you want to change. You want to come out from your evil ways and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. But I do believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus died on the cross for you. He died for me, and God raised him from the dead. It's simple as that. And if you believe that, you'll become a child of God. It's just that simple. And the privilege is open, and it's open opportunity for you right then. It's not a hard thing, but the Bible says no man comes to the Father except he'll draw. And the Holy Spirit will give you that unction. He will give you that will, that desire to even want to be saved. You might feel your heart might be feeling beating fast. You might be feeling trouble in your spirit. And then you might be just sick and tired of being sick and tired, but you can't come to God unless he draw you. But you still have that opportunity because God desires for you to be saved. He desires for you to have that privilege to be able to talk with him, to be able to walk with him. He loved that. That's what he created you for. He created you for that. And before he even got to us, it started way back in the garden. It started way back in the garden with Adam and Eve. That's what God created them to do. And he had fellowship with them. What he did, he began to just talk with Adam. He began to walk with him. and to have that fellowship with him. He had that privilege of being able to talk with God and to walk with God. The same thing when you become a born-again believer, that privilege is open to you. But one thing that stopped Adam and separated him, that fellowship with God, that privilege was when he sinned, when him and Eve sinned, when they ate the forbidden fruit. Same thing with us. That's the only thing that will cause you not to be able to have that privilege is when you will not accept Jesus Christ as being your Lord and Savior. And you accept Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior, you have all rights and privileges to be able to talk and commune with him. And what is a sinner? A sinner is used. Instead, it's a person, an ungenerated person. I was simply saying that it's one who has not received part of his sin. That means God has not forgiven you your sin. If you ask it, it shall be seen, and God will do that. And God hears sinners, and he will hear them if you confess. If you confess and accept his forgiveness, he will do that for you. Because if you look about in the book of Romans, you go to Romans 10:13, it talks about everybody has that right, whosoever. And I love the way the word of God put that word in there, whosoever. So no one would think it's distinct from somebody else. Someone think they're more privileged than anybody else. It said, whosoever. When God created you, you became a whosoever. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever called upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And even in John 6:37, it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't care who you are, what you done. If you confess your sin and ask God and receive him, your Lord and Savior, and ask God to save you, it's simply that God will do that for you. God will do that for you. And you may be seeing other people that are born again believers there who are saved, and you might see the lifestyle that they're living, think that you're not even worthy. Because sometimes when you don't have Christ in you, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're not into the Word of God, you don't understand the things. You can't understand the spiritual things. And you will think you have to be a certain person to be able to accept, to be able to have the privilege of a certain thing. You do have to be that certain person. And know that certain person thing is saved. That's all. Not by who you are, how much money you have, what job you apply and working at, and the people that you know. Only thing you will qualify and what you need to do is just to be saved. And you have that same right of being whosoever, like everybody who is saved. And that's so important. So you got to be saved to be able to grant that privilege. It's a privilege to be saved. It's a privilege to be saved. And you are not a castaway. You are not a castaway. If you get that desire and you want to be saved and you accept the salvation, if you yield to the Spirit of God when God is calling you, even if you have given your life to Christ and you have backslidden and you know you have turned away from the things of God, you know what the privilege is. God, don't let the enemy torment your mind and make you feel like you ain't less and worth coming back to, and you less of a child of God because you made a mistake or because you backslid or because you failed to do the thing. No, shake yourself up. God is a forgiving God. God is a forgiving God. Even in your salvation, the privilege of, guess what, God had given us is being saved when we fall short. He said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That goes to show you, you are a born-again believer, to show you that sometimes we will mess up. Sometimes we will fail. Sometimes we will sin. But we have a privilege in that by being just a child of God. We have a privilege of being forgiven. We have a privilege of just being strengthened. That was all the privileges it takes when you're even being born again. So come on to the Lord's side and be able to just, just relish in his love and his communion with him, just praying and talking with him. That God desires that for all of us. He desires that for all of him. He will not cast you out. Whosoever will, and I will in no wise cast out. You got to want God. If you want him like a deer panting from a brook, like how they pant water, they so thirsty, just have that desire for God. And the more you be with God, the more you commune with him, you will get that desire to want to just be with him, the more you want to communicate with him. And the privileges just don't stop. They just go on and on and on. And talking about salvation, they talk about also
Luke 15:10. It say, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. One sinner that repenteth. That's why it's so important. I want to drive in. God led me to talk about the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. A lot of times we talk about the power of prayer. A lot of times we focus on that, the power of prayer, what power could do, what prayer could do, and the principles of prayer, the way to do it. That. But a lot of times we overlook the privileges of prayer. A lot of times we think about it's just a privilege of prayer just to be saved. But it's so much come in, being just be able to commune with God. Think about someone that you know, someone that you close with. If you didn't have the opportunity to talk to them and commune and spend time with them, what good would that relationship be? It'd be dormant. It'd be dull. But the more you fall in love with someone, the more you care about someone, you care about them, and the more you get to know them and you fellowship with them, it's about what? Communication. You talking to them all the time, and you be able to, and you talk to a person. The more you be with a person, guess what? You learn about those person. You learn about their characteristics. You learn about things they do, what they like, what they don't like. Then you learn to accept things that they do because you know, oh, that just they don't mean any harm. That's just the way they are. Oh, they're not just trying to be selfish, or they're not just trying to be mean. That's the way they are. I know them because I talk with them. I commune with them. I know them. Same thing with God. Same thing. God knows us. He made us, created us. When we act a certain way, is not pleasing him. We do certain things. God understands that. What? He still loves us. And the same thing that is, it comes with fellowshipping through prayer. The same thing how God wants to do with him. And we talked about it, so the angels say over one sinner. When you as an individual, same thing with myself, before you became saved, when you became saved and became a child of God, oh my God, they had a party in heaven. They say angels in heaven, and they celebrate it because you accepted God. You have that privilege to be able to walk and to be able to have heaven or earth in this life that you have now that God has granted you while you're yet here. A lot of times people just say, sometimes people say, I just want to just go to heaven. I ain't going to be blitzed in heaven, and it will be. But God said, while he is now, yet we here, he could give us heaven right here on earth. That's a privilege, and it comes with just being a child in God. And another privilege we have, and talking about that in 1 Peter 2:9, talking about the privileges of being a child of God, the privileges of prayer, the privilege of prayer of being a child of God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Number 10, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Look at that privilege you have. And that only comes through communication and praying and being a child of God. It's such a privilege to be able to receive God. They say you are chosen generation. You've been chosen by God. You are royalty. You are royalty. You're in the royal priesthood. Because God is the king. He's the king of kings. And by you accepting him as being your Lord and Savior, you're part of that priesthood. We all are part of that priesthood. We are a holy nation because God is holy. We are peculiar people. You're going to be different. We're going to stand out. People will not understand the things that we do. That's the privilege about being a child of God. We stand off. And you ever noticed that and you ever heard, you might have said it about somebody yourself, a person, you may do a certain thing, a person who have given their life to the Lord, and they say, and they may not like what they do, and it could be a right thing, or it could be something wrong, but the first thing they say, oh, yeah, you're supposed to be so saved, or you think you something, oh, I thought you were saved. That's, you stand off. You could get a sinner person to do something that is bad, and it's nothing said about it. It's been accepted, and no one has anything bad to say about it. They might say something bad, but they won't dwell on it. But you being a Christian, a child of God, you say you do the same thing, and they're going to ridicule you. They're going to throw you through the mud, and you're going to say, no, they did the same. The other person who wasn't even saying did it, they ain't making a big thing about it. You know why? because you're peculiar. We stand out as being Christians. We stand out. We're peculiar people. We strange. You know why we strange? Because the things of the world is strange to the people of this world. But the people of God, it's not strange. Our mindset has been changed. We have taken on the mind of Christ. We don't think no longer like we think in time past. Because God has brought us out of that. And that's the privilege you have of being a royal part of the royal priesthood, of being a chosen generation. We have been called out there. That's a privilege. And that's a privilege of prayer, be able to communicate with God for that. We thank God for that, able to communicate with your Father for being able to do that. And we ain't always been like that. It's a privilege because, you see, in time past, we were just like the other person in the world. We were just like that. But because of the privilege God has given us by accepting him as being our Lord and Savior, and because of the privilege we have in prayer to commune with him that calls us and ask him to forgive us of our sins. That's what we have. That's the privilege we have. And we thank God. And then one time we didn't have mercy on God. God didn't have mercy on us. But we now what? Have obtained mercy. We have obtained mercy from God. And God said that we get brand new mercies every day. That's a privilege. That's a privilege. And we pray God and we thank God for that. We pray to God for that. That's just how important it is. And we're taking steps to God and by praying, the importance of praying, the privilege of praying. We can't take it for naught. We have to pray to God. We have to call our prayers to God, and the privilege of being praying to God is a lifestyle. Just like we have a lifestyle of getting up every morning and taking care of our natural bodies, we are like brushing our teeth, combing our hair, and washing our face, and putting on new clothes. The same privilege we have of being with God in prayer every day. The more you pray to God, the more you get to commune with him, the more you get to know him. And knowing God and having a relationship with him causes you to have a greater lifestyle, greater opportunity, greater favor with God. So we have to just take advantage of that. And there are many, many privileges that is granted to you and to me and to all of us that accept God. And we can take things to God in prayer. You just can't come to God any kind of way. We can be able to go to God in prayer when you have received him as your Lord and Savior. Because because prayer is a blood-bought privilege for you and all who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it is. Prayer is a blood-bought privilege. Jesus gave his life. He shed his blood for us to have the opportunity, to have the privilege to be able to come to him and accept him as Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Be able to come to him. Everybody can't come to God. Every sinner can't come to God. Everybody can't come to God. But when you become a born-again believer, you have the privilege, you have the right to be able to come to him in the name of Jesus, just how you want to come to him. And before Jesus went to the cross, people had to go to the priest. Praise the Lord. Yes, before Jesus went to the cross, people had to go to a priest. I mean, they had to go to another man to give God their problem. They had to go to the priest. And even in those days, they had the opportunity to go to the priest once a year and go to God and tell them what their problems is and tell them what they seen was to get sacrifice of a lamb or some sheep or something for their sins. God has gave us a better way. He has given us a better way to be able to come to him in prayer. And that's all came with, like I said, with accepting him as our Lord and Savior. You get so many privileges. We get the privilege to be able to go to him anytime we want to. We don't have to go to another man or a woman. We have opportunities that God has given us inside of the fivefold ministry, inside of the body of Christ, and inside of the kingdom, to be able to pray on behalf of others, to pray with others. But we're not talking about that right now. We have that, and that's even a privilege in itself. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the privilege in prayer, being able to come to God. And that's one of the privileges by accepting him. That's why it's so imperative that I keep driving in about being a born-again believer, accepting God as your Lord and Savior, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because that's when all the privileges come in. Right after that statement, right after you've given God, confessing your sins, and receiving him as your Lord and Savior, that's when all the privileges come in, being a prayer, to be able to talk to God, communicate to God, You don't have to go to the priest anymore. They went to him once a year, and they had to tell the priest their problems, but they'd be able to hear from God, for God to be able to say, your sins are forgiven. But guess what? Even in time past, and now, the priest, he has sometimes got problems. He has to go for his own self. But this time, you might not want to tell everybody what you're going through. You might not want to share your sins with the world and with this man or the woman of God or the priest or whoever, the pope or whoever. You have been given the privilege that you'll be able to take it to God in prayer for yourself. You'll be able to tell God like an ISL. He already know. He already know what sin is. But just having that privilege to be able to go to him like you want to go to him, just tell him just like you want to tell him. He knows you. And nobody can tell God your situation like you can tell him. Nobody can express your situation like you can. Nobody feels your situation like you do. But God does. If we look at Hebrews 4:15-16, it gives us that right. It gives you that lease. It gives you that privilege. It gives you the opportunity to be able to come to God, to come to God. Even in the midst of you being a born-again believer, and you may fell short and you may have sinned, God has given you that privilege, like I said earlier, based on the Bible. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you for your sins and to cleanse you for all righteousness. And not only that, in Hebrews 14:15-16, it gives us the opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace. It gives you boldness. It'll give you boldness. You come to the throne of grace, the throne of grace, and you'll be able to talk to God, tell him the problems, just like you want to tell him. Prayer is just so simple as communicating with God. We have to see prayer as fellowship with God. We got to see it. It's not like he is our teacher. And even though he do teach us, the Holy Spirit teach us, but I'm saying we have to see him in a form of not being like a hard taskmaster. We got to see and build a relationship with God that's knowing that God, you know, he is our Father. He cares about us. He cares about you. And a father who cares about their children in the natural, same way as God cares about his children in the supernatural. Same thing. You got to see Jesus as being what? Your friend, a friend, Jesus being your brother. He's your Lord, he's your Savior. We have to see him as being in that place in our life, and it's a privilege. And we get in relationship with him, we won't look at him as like we going to the throne of grace and shaking in our boots because we know we don't did something wrong, and we so nervous that he doesn't take the whip out or just throw us in the lion's den. No, it's not like that. It's just the privilege we have, and when we do fall short, that we can come to the throne of grace. Because God wants us to be able to come to him in boldness. He don't want us to be afraid of him. And you don't have to be afraid of him because we have a loving God. We have a loving Father who cares about us, who cares about what happened to us, and he wants to be able to take the advantage. He wants to know him. He wants to know the privilege that we have about just being able to be a child of God. He wants to know and take the advantage of the privilege we have or serving him, the things that all come with him, not just being heaven bound. A lot of people take it for just one thing based. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. But God wants us to be able to live a life right now and make heaven right here on earth. He wants to be able to live a happy life. That's the reason why they sent Jesus. That's the reason why we have the privilege of being, to be, our sins to be forgiven if we confess our sins. And we have to continue this, to focus on God and focus on others in our prayers, because another thing, that's another thing that privilege that God has given us about being able to pray. It's not just for us. We be in a place with God that he has given us the prayer, the privilege to be able to pray for others when they can't pray for themselves. It's a privilege to be able to stand in the gap for your children, for your loved ones, for your friends. And another thing, too, and the most important thing, too, and it's something to be done, we have the privilege of being able to pray for what? For our enemies. That's a privilege. And the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. It's a privilege to be able to do that. And to be able to do that, and in being in our own natural state of being, it's hard to be able to do that when we're not filled with the Spirit of God, when we're not filled with the love of God. But when we're filled with the Spirit of God and the love of God, it's a privilege to be able to do that. God say, pray for your enemy. Pray for them to despitefully use you. And it takes what? communicate with God. It takes fellowship with God. And I'm telling you, when you fellowship with somebody, I don't care who it is, saved or unsaved, the more you fellowship with that person, the more they're going to rub off of you or the more you're going to rub off of them. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You could be a saved saint. You love God. But if you communicate with evil person and your good and your desire is not and your will is not striving to try to draw them to Christ, I don't care how long you've been saved, how strong you is in the Word of God, how much you read your Bible, the Bible is not false. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he gonna reap. Another thing, evil communication corrupt good manners. I don't care. I don't care. You stay with somebody who's not an evil person, who's not doing right, a sinful person. You stay around that atmosphere long enough, and you're not, for the sake of not trying to draw that person or win that person to Christ, you're going to find yourself gradually doing the same thing they do. It's a fact. It started way back in the Eve. It stayed way back in the garden with Adam and Eve. They were communicating too long with Satan, doing the things they didn't know to do right, but they ended up doing wrong. But simply what? Communicating. Communicate with the wrong person. Same thing in the garden with Eve. Communicating with what? Satan too long, and even though she knew what was right to do, Adam knew what right to do, but they end up communicating with the enemy and end up doing what they're doing. So we have to be careful with who we hang with and the purpose of what we're doing, but we ought to draw sinners. We ought to draw people who have fallen short, even ourselves, when we fall short, to draw from each other, iron sharpens iron. We just to build each other up, to help each other. That is one of the privileges we have. So we have to, it continues to cause us to just focus on our prayers and others to be able to intercede for others. It becomes a lifestyle. And as we come to persevere in prayer, the more we persevere in prayer, the more it will be. It's just a privilege to be able to just see God for who he is and to do things what he called us to do. Because prayer and the privilege of prayer is an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. And a lot of times we take burdens upon ourselves, because we don't know about the privileges that God has given us containing prayer. We take a lot of things on ourselves. We don't have to do it. But when we don't have a relationship with God, we don't read our word. And the Bible is the idea. That is God. God is his word. When we don't communicate with God and being around people and things that are holy and things that will help build us and help build up the kingdom, we'll find ourselves not walking and taking advantage of the privilege of the things of God. And I know you probably heard the old hymn say, "What a friend we have in Jesus." It's an awesome song, and it's a message all by itself. Not only just the music, the lyrics, but the words to that song is a message all by itself about the privilege we have in being able to take things to God in prayer. It's such a privilege. And, you know, even like getting up every morning, like I say, is a lifestyle. And what we do for our natural body is we have good hygiene. The same thing we should have in the spirit room. Every morning, commune with God, talk to God. And it's not a long, drawn-out thing. It's just simply, like you guys said, communicating, dialogue with somebody. God knows you. He created you. You come to God in your own style. He know your heart. He know what's in it. You just come here just as real. Morning, same thing we do at lunch. You don't have to be a long scripture. You don't have to be a long verse. It just be you. Commune with God. Come just like you want to come to here. And there's so many methods. There's so many ways that you can communicate with God. The privilege of being able to hear God's word. You might feel like you may not be smart enough or educated enough, I say, to be able to read, you know, as fluently like as others. But they got the Bible on tape. You can listen to it on tape. And you may not even have a tape. Every phone, the way they develop these phones, it don't have to be a smartphone, just a little small, cheapest phone you could get. You could be able to hear the Bible on tape. You'd be able to look at it on your computer. You hear it on TV. It's all kind of ways you'd be able to commune with God. That's a privilege to be able to hear God's word. And if you could go to sleep with it, you just put it right in your ear, just turn it on and just let the word just flow through you. Just today, every night, all through the daytime, even lunchtime, you take a little snack, just look at the Bible, just think about it, just talk to God. You even got to say scripture out the Bible, just telling you loving, telling you appreciate it. He'll just be glad to hear that even the night for you, even you close your eyes, you can just tell him how tired you are. That's communicating with God. That's the privilege, because God cares and God is able to give us everything we need. And I really want to right now just talk, we're still talking about the privilege of prayer, the privilege of prayer. And God gave me the idea to look at the words to the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I'm going to just read these words to this song and write the song down. You can follow me now, but you can go back in your time. And the hymn is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And it's written by Dan Follard, F-O-L-L-A-R-T. He wrote that song. And the words, and I looked at it, I said, my God, and it's telling us about the privilege, things we don't have to carry, things we don't have to do. And we do carry a lot of burden. We do carry things on our own because we're not taking advantage of the privilege we have in prayer. It's so simple, but yet so complex. Amen? Amen. I'm reading this, the words to the lyrics. What a friend we have in Jesus. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. In other words, we have sins, we have grief, and we bear so much of that. A lot of times you may be going through a situation in certain things, and you don't have to carry yourself. You will have things. We all experience grief. We all experience sins. But guess what? We don't have to carry that. Take it to God in prayer. Talk to God about it. You don't have to carry it yourself. It's a privilege to carry to God in prayer. It's a, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We are deprived ourselves of being peaceful. And sometimes God wants to give us sweet sleep. He wants us to be able to just have needless pain. Something, we carry something, we don't have to be carrying things. Simply because we don't even take it to God, because we don't carry it to God in prayer. Take it to God in prayer. That's a privilege. It's a, how we trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Some things we can't have. Things are going to happen. We see things happen everywhere all over the world. We see tornadoes. We see hurricanes. We see all kinds of things, earthquakes. We see famine. We see killings, everything. Something is going to happen. Inevitable. It's going to happen, and it is happening. But, and then the human side of us saying, we should never be discouraged. But we do be discouraged because the human side of us, that natural side of us, that's what it does. It could feel that. But take it, don't forget to take it to God in the prayer, because God is, it would be able to lift that burden for us. It would be able to cause us to be able to hold that burden. It would be able to cause us to be able to even grieve the heartache. God will give us that peace to be able to bear that thing. It's a, can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus know I have every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a privilege it is. Take it to God in prayer. It's a, are we weak and heavy laden, pummeled with load of care? Precious Savior, steal our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Is his arm here? In his arm here, take it and shield you. You will find solace there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou will all thy burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bring all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory, bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Raptured praise and endless worship, we will, our sweet portion be there. Amen. That's Psalm right there. What a friend we have with Jesus is nothing but showing us and telling us all the privileges we have in God in every area of our life. When we come through heartache, we come through pain, we come through sickness, we come through shame, take it to God in prayer, because it is a privilege to take God, take it to God in prayer, everything. And prayer is such a privilege to be able to go to God about anything and everything, no matter what it is. God has opened an opportunity for us. It's an open opportunity to be a Christian, to be able to go to God. Because like I said earlier, God, and prayer is a bloodstained, is a bloodstained banner, is a bloodstained privilege that has been given to us by Jesus from God. We have the opportunity to be able to take everything to God in prayer. And I'm going to close up with this session for tonight. I pray that I have said something that have given you some understanding, has given you hope, have given you light in the privilege of prayer, and knowing that the foundation of your prayer before we even can get to that place is what? We have to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to be able to have that privilege to come to God, to have that privilege to come to God in prayer. And not only it don't stop there, and then along with that privilege to have to talk to God in prayer, all of the benefits that come with it for being a child of God. You have all those different benefits of being a child of God. Amen. It's just a privilege, such a privilege, because Luke 18:1 say, man ought to always pray and not to faint. That's Luke 18:1. Prayer must be a lifestyle. It just don't need to be a backup plan. We just pray when we want to use God for things. We want him to do something for us or do something for others on our behalf. Prayer must be a lifestyle for us. That means man must always pray. And you talk about 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without ceasing. Or in other words, don't depend on just your pastor. Don't depend on intercessor. Somebody has to pray for you. You can go to God yourself and pray. God said, come boldly to the throne of grace. He talks about that. And pray to him. You pray for yourself. You pray daily. Just come to him. You don't have to be just come just as you are and just tell God just how it is. He already knows. And he talks about Acts 10:34 say, God has no respect to a person. And Acts 2:21, it declares that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't let nobody discourage you. You are a child of God. God loves you. God wants you to be saved. God desires for you to be saved. Don't be one of the ones that who reject the privilege, who reject the opportunity, because the truth be told, everybody is not going to be saved. Everybody's not going to heaven. But God has given you this opportunity. He has given you, who hear the sound of my voice, who have not received God as your Lord and Savior, the privilege of being able to receive God as your Lord and Savior and to receive him, to be able to commune with him in prayer. You are not, God has no respect to person. You are qualified. You are chosen if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because no one comes to the Father unless he drawn by him. God is tugging on your heart. He is calling on you. He is wanting you to accept him to be your Lord and Savior, you to be your Lord and Savior. That's a great opportunity. That's a privilege. You don't have to be a certain person or a certain status. And you just that whosoever. You that whosoever, you can become a born-again believer today. And also Galatians 3:28 say, God is an equal opportunity blesser. He will pray and he will answer your prayers. You are no different from nobody else. God loves all his children. The only thing we have in common is what? We are saved, and he loves all of us. And Radio Land, I thank God for this opportunity to be able to come before you tonight. And I pray that something I have said that God has given us this night through the session, this first session, is the privilege of prayer, the privilege of prayer. And we learned all the benefits we have, and we thank God for that. And the next time we meet again, we'll be talking about the power of prayer. And then the one after that, we'll be talking about the principles of prayer. But right now, we thank God for just giving us these nuggets about and the opportunity and all this information about the privilege of prayer. And I'm going to pray a mass prayer. Just thank God for just giving us this opportunity. And I'm going to briefly pray also for those who may not have prayed the sinner's prayer as I was going along teaching. I'm going to open the radio broadcast for you to receive Jesus Christ as being your Lord and Savior, and then that way you'll be a child of God, and all the angels rejoice in heaven. You'll be able to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'll have the privilege of prayer of taking everything to God. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, right now, God, I pray, God, and this for any sinner person, God, that who have not received you as their Lord and Savior, God. God, just cause them to say that, Lord, forgive me all my sins, God. I know that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and that he is now sitting on the right hand of God and interceding for me to be a born-again believer. Say, God, I don't want to be a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe Jesus died on the cross and God raised him from the dead. And it's simple as that. If you believe that, you are a born-again believer. The Bible says, whosoever will, then it comes to God. He will know why I can't stop. And God, I ask you right now, God, for anyone who prayed that simple prayer, that privileged prayer, I ask you, God, to fill them with the Holy Spirit, God. Cause them, God, to ask you to fill them with the Holy Spirit, to give them power, God, to be able, God, to walk this boat of being a Christian, God, again, the power to be able to accept you as Lord and Savior, to be able to stand, to all to stand. And, God, we just love you and praise you. And, God, I pray, God, what you have given us this night, God, about the privilege of prayer, God. And we thank you, God, for just causing us, God, to know, God, that there are many benefits of serving you, God, and most of them, God, is being holy, God. One of the most important things to be holy and be concerned to others, God. We thank you, God, for the privilege and the opportunity, God, to be able to, God, to be your representation, God, to be able to be your representative, God, of being a Christian, God, to be a Christ-like. Thank you for the privileges, God, you have given us. And, God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And again, Radio Land, I thank you again for this night. You give me a listening ear to hear what God has to say. And remember that preaching help you live good. Preaching help you feel good and teaching help you live good. God bless you until we meet again. Good night.
That ain't going away. The end of heaven. Yeah, wrong one. That's not.